This is the Better Architecture Podcast, and you're listening to Season 2, Design Media India 2024 edition of The Talks.
Hello everyone, this is your host Shubhayan, and a warm welcome to Episode 5 of the Season 2 of the podcast, that's Design Media India 2024 edition. Today in the studio, we have with us a very special guest, architect Apurva Bosdatta. Friends, let me tell you all, she has been my very first guide into the media domain, someone I have constantly looked up to and followed since I was in college. She is an award-winning journalist and an author who has, throughout her journey, constantly tried to bring the incubating profession of architectural journalism to the mainstream. Please welcome to the show, architect Apurva Bosdatta.
Thank you, Shubhayan. It's wonderful to be a part of this podcast and I'm looking forward to it.
You're welcome. Now, before moving forward, you'll know the drill. Head to the description to check out Apurva ma'am's bio and her social media links to take out the max from this conversation. Right, so coming to the topic here, design media, or say any alternate connotation of this field, architectural media, architectural journalism, or any similar term, you have been at it for very long. So, from your perspective, how do you define this terminology, design media?
So, Shubhayan, both the words in design media or architectural media have huge implications, as in design or architecture and media. They are huge and exhaustive terms in themselves. If we just speak about design, it could be architectural and interior design, product or furniture design, landscape design, lighting design, fashion or graphic design, automobile design, and so much more. And when we are referring to media, it could be the print media, digital or broadcast media, and many other variations which can be categorized under them. For me, as I am trained in architecture, and since I call myself an architectural journalist, that is the path that I followed, that of architectural journalism, critique, discourse, where the core for me is architectural and design writing. So in my case, I take design media as different mediums to communicate architecture and its related disciplines. And you also know that when we say architecture, it doesn't imply only the shell. Architectural writing could also include writing on interior spaces, landscape design, urban design, structural design, construction, product design, art, and so much more. So to put it more simply and answer your question, design media is the channel through which design gets communicated. And though writing might be the most effective form of communication, but there are other forms of communication too, including verbal communication and visual communication. So as for me, all these different kinds of communication put together will make up the design media.
That is a very, very wholesome answer. Let me put that out first. So a channel through which design is getting communicated. If I can extrapolate this statement to the current context, the media domain is expanding. But architectural journalism still relies so heavily on the written word. I mean, at least in India or so I feel. Also, this boom in internet consumption during the pandemic lockdowns. How are the communication channels evolving? What's your take, specifically our industry?
I don't think it is restricted to writing, especially if you look at it in the past 15, as I said, it has kind of involved different kinds of communication. And in fact, I call myself an architectural journalist, and that's the term I adopted kind of, because I had this elective of architectural journalism in my, final BR. But as an architectural journalist, I must tell you that I'm actually an architectural whose core might be writing, but I use different modes of communication, right? So as an architectural journalist or an architectural writer also, I think there have always been different kinds of avenues, right? Whether it's verbal communication, whether it's driving the discourses, and there is so much to it. And because everything has gone digital in the past 15 months, I think people have resorted to different mediums of digital expression also. Initially, it could be just written articles. Today, you are conducting this podcast. There are so many videos that are made on architecture, design, any other form of communication. So I think there are different ways of exploration, and now there are different ways of expression. And it's wonderful in a way, especially if I have to contextualize it to architectural journalism, because it kind of increases the scope of architectural journalism, architectural journalist or architectural writing, And I also believe that, you know, so much of knowledge about architecture, design or cities, that we should not restrict that knowledge to write. You know, we should use that knowledge to communicate about architecture and design through different mediums, through different channels, and through different modes of expression.
Right. But when you say different ways of exploration and expression to communicate about buildings, built and unbuilt forms, architecture, it invokes a conflict in me. Not about the necessity of communicating, obviously, but about what the term journalist implies. Journalism, in essence, has an angle of investigation, live field action, and reporting happens to be a big part. It's not supposed to be a very office-based desk job, but when we see what most of us are doing, it doesn't actually fit into my definition. Architectural writer or content creator fits my bill. Journalist, not so much. So then, what do you think? Are the definitions still open-ended? Is journalism holding a different annotation in the design domain? And how would you look at this dilemma?
Well, that's a great question. I'm actually happy that you do believe that journalism can have, you know, different meanings and it shouldn't restrict itself to this just dissemination of information. So in fact, for all our listeners, let me define the term architecture journalism. For me, the definition of architecture journalism has always been journalism in architecture. And today, the integration of architecture and journalism might not be surprising. But 16 years back, when I decided to kind of integrate both these fields, it was unheard of. And as you rightly said, I have realized that for some reason, architecture journalism is being interpreted as only a medium to share news about architecture. But if you ask me, journalism is not only disseminating information. You know, exactly the way you put it, there are different kinds of journalism, such as investigative journalism, there is literary journalism. And so when we translate it into architecture journalism, it should be including theoretical thinking, critical thinking, evaluation, and investigation. But I think it is for everyone to define what kind of meaning they want to attach to architecture journalism. When I decided to pursue architecture journalism, as I said, the name came to me because I had this elective, and that is why I call myself an architecture journalist. But I have realized over the years, being an unexplored field, the scope of architecture journalists is not defined. You know, the kind of writing they want to do, the genre of writing they want to do is what they have to decide. So as I said, that I call myself an architecture journalist. I will always stick to the title, but I'm actually an architectural writer who is dabbling in different ways of communicating architecture, whether that's journalism, criticism, design appreciation, articulation, design thinking, discourse. So I think all these have to walk along each other, and that is what will make the architectural media. But I would also say that it is not anything binding. If there is someone who just wants to, you know, spread information about architecture without doing the critical analysis, that is all okay, because as in, architecture journalism is not an established profession in India. So it is for everyone to decide the career path they want to take up.
Okay, so the definitions are still open-ended is what you're saying, meaning that the profession is developing, it's dynamic still. And, you know, at one point I feel happy because the absence of such benchmarks just lets one go bonkers and try out new mediums. In fact, this podcast, the Better Architecture Podcast, was the resultant of a private project that I've been at since 2017 that was, or rather is, the Better Architecture Project, and this one's the podcast. So I'd say it's a good thing because one do get the scope of experimentation here. Now, another thing that I wanted to ask is about research, architectural research. So many studios nowadays are hiring architectural researchers, and these are really good opportunities for the right candidates, I believe. But I also feel that our industry is somehow confused between research and writing. Mostly with aspiring young professionals, the tendency to call a written article as a research piece just because it involves some, you know, deep homework has been so common. So, from the architecture perspective, how do you differentiate between architectural research and architectural writing?
So Shabhan, you know, I would want to address something which I find it happening very regularly everywhere, and that is that when someone talks about architectural writing, they only talk about essays or they talk only about research writing. I think it is very important for everyone to understand that architectural writing has many, many genres, right? Research writing is just one part. Essay writing is just one part. And there are so many different genres of writing that one could take up. In fact, I run a course on architectural writing, and I call it architectural writing because there are different genres of writing that have been taught. So that is something that everyone needs to understand, because I also see that for the past 1.5 years, you know, a lot of organizations are coming up with these competitions where they say that, you know, these are competitions for architectural writing, but they're either restricted to research writing or they are either restricted to essay writing. So I wouldn't say that they are really architectural writing competitions. You asked a very valid point about whether architecture research is architecture writing, because, you know, I have received a lot of queries because I keep on getting these emails from interested people in architectural writing. They say that, you know, ma'am, there is a vacant position for an architectural researcher. So if I join it, do you think I'm going to go a step further in terms of architectural writing? So I always tell them that please understand, writing is just one part of architectural research. It is a very important part of research, but writing is just one part of architectural research. There are so much other things that happens in research writing. In fact, research writing is a very, very formal way of architectural writing. So if there is someone who is inclined to architectural research, I think writing will still be important for that person. But I wouldn't say that it will equate to, you know, complete architectural journalism or complete architectural writing. It would be taking up one part of architectural writing and focusing on that.
Great. I think that clarifies the issue to a great deal, and I believe I have the answer that I was looking for. Now, on to the next segment about yourself. So, you have been in the scene for very, very long time, probably longer than most. So, how has the journey been? The milestones, the ups and downs, if you can lay it down for my audience.
So I think, Shabhan, I've said this on many platforms, but my bond with architectural journalism or architectural writing, it started with writing. But my bond with writing has been a pretty long one. You know, it started as a 7-year-old, and writing was always supposed to be a hobby, like the many other hobbies I have. But it was much later I realized that, you know, when you are writing, you are reading your mind. You are in a space that is just yours, unfiltered, pure, and where no one disturbs you. So there is this different kind of peace you experience when you're in that space. So I think I was always a very shy kid. So words were the way for me to express myself. So whether in the form of poems, articles that got published on different platforms. And as I said, when I was in my final, I got to know that this elective called architectural journalism is being offered. I was quite intrigued. And now when I look back, I think I connected back to my me space and the solace that writing gave me. And I always wondered how it could relate to architecture. So I took up the elective, and I remember those 6 months where I would feel so happy, delighted in doing my elective submissions. And that is when I started questioning that if the subject could be taken as a profession. You know, I still remember when I went for my interview for Architecture Plus Design magazine, APSP. This was within 2 months of my graduation, and Mr. Sunil Paul was the magazine's editor. He really wanted to understand why I wanted to get into architecture writing full time. Because during that time, which I think continues even today, it happens that so many fresh graduates who want a year off before pursuing their master's in any subject, they join a magazine thinking it would be an easy and less tiring routine, and then they, you know, kind of just leave it after a year. I never had those intentions. I wanted to join the magazine because I wanted to become an architectural journalist. And clearly, Mr. Paul also didn't want to employ someone who had that intention. He was looking for someone with a serious dedication to architectural writing. But I can say that, you know, actually, I'm very happy that he thought through my intentions, because APSP gave me the foundation, which gave me enough confidence to go ahead in the profession and, you know, make it my profession for a lifelong. So my first learnings about the profession, they happened there itself. I was a part of the core editorial team and was given responsibilities of writing, editing, researching, covering events, overseeing the layouts, proofreading. And I was meeting and interacting with so many professionals from the field. I was learning from them. And since the magazine was also very well known for the various conferences and events and awards it organized, I got a chance to play an essential role in all of them. You know, just a few days back, I was remembering this one particular assignment, a very challenging one, but one that I deeply cherish, which Sunit sir asked me to do. And he said that I have to make a film on A plus D's 25 years of journey, which was to be shown at their Malaysia Award function in 2005. And, you know, later they would use it for some promotional purposes. For that, I went through every magazine issue of A plus B in its 25 years, which meant 12 issues per year. And the initial few years, it was, I think, 6 issues per year. You know, that was an exhaustive study, which was such a huge learning in itself about how architectural writing had evolved over time. And it is important to remember that at that time, there were only a handful of architectural magazines in India. And A plus D was clearly one of the leading ones. So after studying those magazine issues of 25 years, I came out with a film of those 25 years of A plus D. It was greatly appreciated and it remains an essential piece of work I managed there in the first week itself. Then I also discovered there was a lot of travel within and outside the city, outside the country too, in this field of, you know, architectural journalism. And I was also very fortunate that besides Mr. Paul, the entire team of A plus D I was working with was fabulous. I was the youngest amongst them, fresh out of college, but the kind of responsibilities they gave me, the way they showed, and what I was able to come up with, it made me really confident, you know, that I would want to continue this being a part of this field of architecture journalism. But yes, so I had to change locations, countries, and so I had to bid farewell to A plus D. Later, there was also a short stint with Indian Architect and Builder where I headed there for a few months. Again, I picked up much learning. And in 2009, finally, when, you know, my husband and I moved to Bangalore, I realized I could no longer work with any architectural magazine in a full-time capacity because there were no architectural magazines headquartered in Bangalore. So, you know, so that is when I decided to start working independently. So, you know, I have been working independently ever since then. So I guess it's been 12 years. It's been 12 years now to that.
Right. Yes. I very much, you know, like the idea of working independently, though that's not exactly what you can do always. But again, well, coming back, I believe you also did a diploma on freelance journalism. And that brings me to the issue of an additional qualification in journalism or writing. So, putting it straight for the seriously interested ones, does holding an additional degree or doing a formal course help? Or can years of experience be enough to teach you the trade? What's your take?
I always say that all architectural writers or all architects who want to become writers, they should be able to gauge the kind of skills they have in writing, right? And if you think that you don't have the skills, you should definitely do a course in writing. I am not talking about a full-fledged postgraduate course in writing, but, you know, especially with digital technology, there are so many short courses which are available specifically on writing. And this is important because, you know, in our architecture, leave alone being a mandatory subject, right, doesn't feature as a subject, you know, in our architecture and design curriculum. And we should always know that when one is talking about architectural writing, there are two disciplines involved, it is architecture and writing. So, you know, if you just have the content going with architect, with your architectural skills, and you don't have the writing skills, then it does not really work for you. So I think it is very, very important for everyone to gauge their writing skills and understand what kind of course they want to do. Do they want to do a short course? Do they want to do an advanced course? Apart from the fact that one might want to, you know, enroll in a short course for writing, I would also suggest that if someone is really interested, then overseas there are a lot of courses that are happening in architectural writing, architectural theory, architectural critical thinking, architectural journalism. So, but those are postgraduate courses. So that is also something one can always opt for. But I always say that after graduation, you should always work in an architectural journalism and then only go in for a post-graduation, right? Because it's a new field, it's an unconventional field, and it's very, very important that if you are going to devote your 2 years of education to architectural writing, you should actually know what the field is about. So, you know, first stay in the field for a year or two, get to understand if you really like it, if the field is made for you, and then if you feel, please go in for a post-graduation. Of course, the post-graduation is not mandatory. As I said, there are many, many courses that are happening on architectural writing. But obviously, if you do a post-graduation, it always adds in some way.
Right, and I do agree. I too am of the opinion that after graduation, you have to, or rather need to, work for a couple of years. And not just for this field, for any field actually. Because that kind of gives you the market understanding on one hand, and also renders some good amount of clarity on what you want to do and what you don't want to do, which I think is more important to understand. Now, coming to address the giant in this room, income. An expensive Bachelor of Architecture education and the additional costs do burden the candidates. So from that point of view, and definitely also for respectable survival, how are the finances in architectural writing? If you could also give some inputs on how best to earn for oneself, it would be very helpful.
So Shubham, you spoke about, you know, people who are wanting to do architectural writing. Now, I think firstly, it is very, very important for people to decide why are they wanting to take it up as a career profession. Because I think you can only enjoy any profession, and I especially speak about architectural writing or architectural journalism, if you have a solid reason for going into it. And that reason should only be the interest you have in the profession and your belief that it can impact the architecture, design and building industry. If you're just looking for a diversion, meaning if you just want to escape being a practicing architect, that is a wrong choice for you. I do believe that one should select their profession not only based on the skills they have, but more importantly, based on what they want to do in life. If the skills and interests overlap, it is great. But if you are in a fix about going with your interest or with your skills, I will say go with your interest. Because if you have the interest in a subject, you will work hard towards developing your skills and expertise in it. However, if you just have skills and you are not interested in the subject and you feel stuck in it, your existing skills will be redundant in the long run because you will never make an effort to use them in the best way. So this holds true for all professions. But an unconventional career path, it is essential because, as I earlier said, these paths are not established and they expect more patience and perseverance from you. If you have the interest and passion for even an unconventional subject, it will build your endurance levels and make you more determined. And you know, since you were speaking about fresh graduates or young architects, I must say that though I find the younger generation smarter, more aware, independent, and more confident to make decisions for themselves when I compare them to what we were 16 years ago, however, I also find many of them low on patience, waiting for quick results, getting very negative when things don't work out. So that's why their interest in the career path they choose in architecture is crucial. So anyone who wants to get into architectural writing, just because they don't want to go into mainstream architecture, that should not be the choice for you. Now, coming to the financial prospects that you say, so Shubham, let me be very frank. Writing in general is not lucrative, and it stands true for writing in any profession. I'm not only talking about architecture and design. I say this only for the foundation years, because once you are up there and at a senior editorial or publishing position, you can earn well for yourself. But I always emphasize that in architectural or design writing, one needs to diversify to use the knowledge they get from this field and implement it through very different mediums. That can be a good source of earning for yourself. However, you know, if you want me to compare the paycheck of architecture journalism to mainstream architecture, I would ask you, are young graduates happy with the way with the pay they get in mainstream architecture today? They are not, right? So we should not be comparing architecture and architectural journalism. But I should also say that in architectural writing or journalism, people also seem to earn a lot through different means, which might be okay with them. So let me give you an example. There are many people who do ghost writing, which I have never done as a principal and will not do. Some organizations are very happy to do dissertations and thesis for students in return of getting paid, and they look to employ architectural writers. This is again something that is happening, but I don't encourage. You know, talking about me, I have written on multiple architects and their projects in 16 years of my career, but I have never charged the architects I write on because they were the subject of my writing. So I felt, how could I charge them? I have only charged them if I worked as the in-house writer. Otherwise, I have only charged the magazines or the publication house for which I was writing. But I do know many people do charge the architects if the architects want to, you know, want them to write on them. I have also worked with multiple magazines as a freelancer where I never had any agreement with the magazine that, you know, I had to get these number of projects for them in a month. But I was still continuously looking for themes and projects to write on and pitching it to them because I felt I needed to talk about projects and architects that deserved attention. So I guess it is a lot about how you want to charge to. But as I said earlier, the more you diversify yourself in this field, the more scope you create for yourself, the larger are the number of avenues you set up for yourself for earning. But having said that, I must say that it is important for all employers in the design media or architectural media to respect their writers. Pay them well, pay them on time. In fact, you know, I know a few of them are paying so less, it might be better for them to not pay at all. And additionally, I've also seen that, and I've actually realized that when people don't pay you and expect free consultancy or pro bono work or free contribution, they forget to value it too. The least one can do is respect the fact someone is writing for you, investing time and efforts, sharing their knowledge. And I have encountered this on many instances. And, you know, so I think for fresh graduates who are really wanting to go into architectural writing or architectural journalism, I think the most important skills they should develop, if they already don't have it, are ethics, integrity, and professionalism. Because these are for yourself, not for others. And if you don't have these basic things in place, nothing is going to fall in place for you. So, yes. So, I hope I answered your question.
Yes. So, not only have you answered this one, but you have also covered my next question about what should architects do to set their foot in this field. Now, moving to the last phase here, and a very, very important one, say, for the future of the media avenues in architecture and design. Now, India produces close to about 18,000-20,000 architects per year. And we have a good number of people in the media domain now, with more adding per year. And again, we know that people doing the same kind of jobs tend to come together and associate. Let's take the name of IIA, ISOLA, ADI, ITPI, I mean the list goes on. But there doesn't exist any specific body for the design media professional still now. And that's my question. Say, how do you feel about an organization that looks exclusively at architectural media? I mean, what's your take on this? Is there a need? Should we be working towards something like this? And what should be the agendas of such a body? And how do you say that this body can shape the course of this incubating profession?
So, Shubhayan, I must tell you that it was first in 2010 when a very, very senior professor of my college, and he had actually told me that, and he wanted me to establish this society in 2010. Of architectural journalists and architectural writers. And then I think after a few years later too, there was another professor who told me that, you know, Apurva, you should definitely get about, you know, doing it. So I think it's an initiative that, you know, it's like 11 years now, and it's an initiative I've kind of thought of. And I think it is very important to have this kind of a conglomerate, because you know what is happening, Shubhayan, that in the name of architectural writing and in the name of architectural journalism and discourse, what is happening is that it's kind of become a trending topic now. So people who are not serious architectural writers and who also don't have too much of information on the subject, I find them conducting courses, I find them conducting a workshop, which is not really helping, because you know, if we really want to include architectural writing as a field that can impact architecture and design in different ways, we need to have a serious conglomeration, a serious group of people who want to explore the field as much as they can do. And I think there can be many different agendas of these organizations. One, actually, you know, that I, as you would have known, that I have been kind of advocating architectural design writing from in my career. So it's been like 16 years. So I have been going for orations. I have been delivering lectures. I've been, you know, writing on architectural writing. So I've been trying to advocate the profession of architectural writing since 16 years. So I would actually say the things that I have been actually doing on an individual basis, if there is an organization that is working towards it, it would be great, you know. I have been actually going to all organizations, whether it's the Indian Institute of Architects, whether it's the Institute of Interior Designer, whether it's the Council of Architecture. I have been requesting them to advocate architectural writing in their own ways, but, you know, they conduct workshops, they support workshops, they have these architectural writing competitions. So that is also another, that can be an agenda for this group that you're mentioning. And the third most important thing, what I believe, is that, okay, we can have architectural journalism, we can have architectural writing in India, but the reason why architectural writing has not been able to establish itself is because of the lack of formal training that one gets in India, especially. You know, there might be around 50-60 colleges in India today who are offering the electives, but most of them have faculty who don't have much information about the subject. So I think it's very important. For me also, I have been conducting master classes. I have been conducting workshops on architectural writing for many, many years. And I have been now conducting a 6-week course since almost a year. And, you know, I have not had only students. In fact, only 40% of the learners are students. I've had practicing architects from India and countries like US, UK, Australia, Italy, Africa, and so many other countries, because they always say that we are never taught about architectural writing. The only thing that we are taught, especially in India, is probably research writing. Apart from that, you know, there is no teaching formally happening in architectural writing. So I think one of the main agendas of this organization should also be to include formal training in architectural writing. And the fourth thing, I also think that as architectural, the magazines are not the only employers of architectural writers. Architectural firms also employ architectural writers, and there are so many avenues opening for architectural writers. We just need to make ensure, as I said, we have good pay for the writers, right? At the foundation level also, not only at the seniority level. You know, I find it very intriguing. I find it very surprising that why everyone thinks that writing is so easy. Why does everyone think that you only have to do a 500-word article? Why don't you give it to me tomorrow? Right? A writer has to be given that kind of respect. And not only in terms of the payment, in terms of their names also. This concept of plagiarism in writing is something that should not be acceptable, especially in India. You know, you can't really do something about it. But it's happened with many of my articles, which have been plagiarized. They have been published in someone else's name. So through this society, I would also say that, you know, some rules about plagiarism, or what we can do about plagiarism, that should come into agenda. How magazines or architectural organizations or architectural firms who are fine writers, the kind of payment that they are getting, that should come into agenda. And I have also been curating a lot of discourses, curating architectural writing competitions, or I also convened one conference in 2013 on architectural journalism. So, you know, on an individual level, I have been doing it, but if there is an organization, then it becomes organized and it is more easier. Because for me, when I came into architectural writing 16 years back, it was not a recognized subject. It was not an understood subject. And, you know, you were talking about my ups and downs. So it was a journey that saw a lot of hurdles, a lot of hesitations, you know. But I think what happened as a result of the ambiguity of the profession, where experimentation and exploration I started, you know, I still remember that I would approach every magazine I could to tell them that I wanted to write for them, I would go to every architect and introduce them, introduce myself, tell them that I wanted to write on their project. So, you know, the journey has been very difficult, but as I said, it has been a challenging one. And I would say, but I wouldn't have had my journey in any other way, because it's been a fulfilling journey and I've learned everything by being in the field. Today, I would say things have definitely been much easier, because people kind of know what is architectural journalism, what is architectural writing. There might be a still misinterpretation, but at least no one seems surprised when the term architectural journalism and architectural writing is, you know, spoken of. In fact, these days I have found on many platforms, whenever a lot of senior people are talking about alternate avenues in architecture, architectural journalism is something that they all speak about. So I think, you know, if there is an organization and a valid organization that looks into all of this, then it can become more organized. And I think it can definitely add in many ways to the field of architectural writing to make it more. I think it's already recognized, it has really grown and it has really evolved, but to increase its visibility and, you know, to and let it hugely impact architecture and the design industry, I think this organization can go a long way.
Now that gives me hope, you know, like, the overall response towards this question has tended to be negative generally in the last 4-5 episodes. But then with your answer, I do find hope. You can say I'm happy. So yeah, I believe we have covered all the things that I wanted to ask you. But before we close the episode for today, is there anything apart from what we have discussed that you would want to say to my audience? Any tips or suggestions for them?
I would just say that architectural writing and architectural journalism is a great field to pursue. But as I said, only if, you know, if you have the inclination, then you go for it. You know, when I look back at my career, I still don't know the authenticity of this, but I was told I was the first architect in India who took up architectural writing as a full-time profession within 2 months of our BR. Not many were into architectural writing then in India, and most others we had heard of either had practiced architecture or were into academics for a good number of years before getting into writing. There were others who were practicing but writing part-time, and a few had gone in for a post-grad and then started working. In fact, but I must tell you that the society has really, really opened today. In fact, I can tell you that my parents were really shaky about sending me to Delhi to join HSD, even when it was the leading architectural bank of India. But today, times are different. Most parents would be okay to send their kids to other cities or pursue alternate career choices. But, you know, 16 years back, it wasn't that way. So what I want to say is that if you have the will, if you want to do something in life, there should never be anything stopping you. Because I do think that if you have dreams in life, there is always an ecosystem which sees to it that your dreams are fulfilled. And today, as I said, the field has really grown. The field has really evolved. And I must tell you, Shubhain, the only reason why I think so positively about this organization is also because of the kind of journey I have seen. Meaning, I realized when 16 years back, no one even spoke about architectural journalism. Today, everyone is speaking about it. So there are so many avenues and there is so much still left to explore into the profession. But the only thing that I would want everyone to understand is that, as I said, your definition of architectural journalism can be yours. You might just want to put out news about architecture and say that it's architectural journalism. You might want to critique, or there might be someone else who says that I want to write discourses to what I write. But please forget, don't forget that it is a very, very serious field, right? It is architectural journalism and architectural writing are very, very serious field. So just in the name of, you know, these things or whatever, because the digital platform, don't write anything or don't just say anything and say that this is architectural journalism. It's important to realize that this is a serious career choice. And that's why I said that if you have the inclination to go in for the field, if you have the passion, if you have the interest, don't worry about the avenues. Because in fact, you know, for a subject like architectural journalism, which does not have defined boundaries, you have that opportunity to create avenues for yourself, to discover avenues for yourself. In established fields, in conventional fields, you know, there are always these different kind of blocks where you say, either I have to do this, either I have to do this. But in case of unconventional fields, you have that kind of opportunity that, you know, even if you have been getting challenges, if you are not understanding that what next, you create that kind of avenue, you create that kind of opportunity. And you know, you step ahead in life. So I would say, if anyone is interested, please go for the field, because I also think the kind of incidental learning that happens in architectural writing or architectural journalism is great. You get to meet and interact with scores of people from the building industry, and not only from architecture, but architecture, design, and building industry. You get so much of knowledge for yourself. And I think that's a great way. I always say that I can never distinguish between my life and my profession, because they are so beautifully entwined that I can all say that I'm always working. Or the other way to say it is that I'm always on a holiday. So I think that's the beauty of architectural writing. That's the beauty of architectural journalism. And whoever is interested must go in for it.
Absolutely. I believe that this episode will be a major motivation for all those who are wanting in, and not just students or fresh graduates, but also architects who are wanting something alternate to do, a diversion or something like that, right? Cool. So with that, we are closing the session for today. It has been very fruitful discourse on the importance of writing and architecture and design. And I have to thank you, ma'am, for being so candidly genuine. And also for your time.
Yes, I did. And I'm also happy to hear that you said that though you've always been interested in writing and journalism, but you've kind of taken a break, not a complete break, but I'm happy to hear that you said that you will come back to it after 5-6 years. So you also kind of established that if you have the interest and passion, you should, you know, always try to continue it with lifelong, because if you're not passionate about everything, I think our profession is something which is a major part of our lives. And if we are not in a profession which we are passionate about, life can never be happy. So anyway, thank you, Shubhan. Thank you for the wonderful question. It's been wonderful speaking to you. And yes, and thank you to all the listeners too.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for your kind words. Like I've already said in season one, that is, diversify, please. Doesn't matter how much you move out and do whatever for a living. At the end of the day, you'll always come back home to architecture. And I mean, the same goes for me. I mean, I have to be here. It is in this field of design media, architectural media, because simply put, that's my drug. That's what keeps me going and happy. So yeah, I'll always be here. So wrapping the episode now. So yes, a big thank you again to Apurva Bosedatta, ma'am, from me and my audience. A lot many episodes lined up. So folks, keep your eyes and ears open and share this episode with your friends and foes to give everyone a chance to listen. That's that. We are closing for today. Stay safe and stay happy. Till the next time, cheers.